Coming down. Praise God. Wonderful. All right, here's a song that we're going to try to sing that.
Thank you. Yeah. Dear Brother Merle, good to have you all with us. Would you sing Trusting On?
Keep on trusting on us. All right. I don't regret a mile. I don't know. I regret we don't have the song with us. And my memory is not as good as it used to be. Sister Merle and myself gets into quite a thing. We say, "You remember that man? He's married to that woman." And that's just about all the communication we have. You can't remember, talk. I regret we don't have that, but we'll try this song, Prayer Was Made. King Herod took John's brother James, our disciple of the Lord. He saw it pleased the Jews so well, he killed him with a sword. Then he went to Brother Peter and said, "What I'll do now, just as soon as Easter prayer was made, the prayer was made. No prayer was made to God that day. Tell us what King would say. Prayer was made. Because that they would not be. Neighbor came at his relief when prayer was made. But prayer was made, so prayer was made to God that day. Care not what he would say, prayer was made. Think of God they could not see, here's all no call to sing. Neighbor came at his relief when prayer was made. The rulers of great Babylon conspired against the man. But Daniel would not stop his prayer for righteousness of man. So to the den of blinded men and to the king's chamber. Then morning come, for Daniel prayed, may God that prayer was made. Prayer was made. No prayer was made to God that day. Hearing not what he would say, prayer was made. For he would not bow to me. No grown man just walked away when prayer was made. Now prayer was made. No prayer was made to God that day. Prayer was made. Oh, Daniel prayed in the lion's den. For he would not bow to me. No grown man just walked away when prayer was made. And Isaac and old Abraham, they talked among the way. Now God desires a sacrifice, and so I must obey. The boy just could not understand, and was not told when. He was in need of sacrifice, and made no plan. But prayer was made, no prayer was made to God that day. The man of faith was to the day, prayer was made. He was saved, for his son was crucified. God provided a sacrifice when prayer was made. But God provided a sacrifice when prayer was made. But God provided a sacrifice when prayer was made.
I'm not a good speaker and I'm all out of breath. But I praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy and for knowing Brother and Sister Rutledge all these years. They've really been a friend to us and I have a whole lot of confidence in them. And I'm just glad to know people like them and like you. Praise the Lord for them. Hallelujah.
And they have they're very wise people. Invited us over for this 26th anniversary service.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. We're certainly happy to be here. Praise the Lord. Of course, there's many, many things that we think about in the homecoming services, special anniversary services. The Lord we try to think about. That's the reason I'm getting my notes here squared around. Because, you know, as I told you, we sure have problems remembering things. I'm sort of like three sisters that shared an old family home with all of its ancient furnishings and rounded, polished staircase. And as the old place, they too had lived beyond their prime. And one night, upon retiring, Maggie called downstairs and said, "Am I getting up or going to bed?" And Pearl started up to her room to straighten her out, grumbling as she was going about her increasing absent-mindedness. And halting suddenly, she looked back down to me and says, "Am I going up or coming down?" And by that time, May was she was beside herself. And she began to grumble about them. "They're both so forgetful, I don't know what in the world we're going to do. I hope I never get that way." And then she knocked on wood. And she looked around, and that jar knocked, jarred her back to her senses and said, "Well, I wonder who that is at the front door or the back door." But we're glad to be here. I feel like Brother Rutledge has always made us feel real comfortable. Never have felt ill at ease with him, knowing well and good that he's a great preacher, but he's just always sort of made you feel like that you'd do all right. But still, I feel like the young preacher boy that started out in a little country church, and he saw a little maiden that he liked very well. And after talking to her sometimes, he said, "I believe I'll ask you, Daddy, can I marry you?"
Yeah.
And so he did. No man said, "Boy, no" is the answer. "My daughter's not going to marry no preacher."
Uh-huh.
And he was well shook. Well, the girl told her mother, and the mother really applied pressure that week. And finally told the old man, "Now listen, you ought to at least go down and hear the boy preach." And the old man said, "Well, I believe I will." Sunday he goes down, and the boy done the best he could. And the old man called him off to the side and said, "Son, I want to tell you, I believe I'll just take you up on it. You wanted my daughter in marriage. I believe I'm going to give her to you, because you sure ain't no preacher." That's what I feel like tonight, because Brother Rutledge is all right. He's a good preacher, and we just appreciate him, Sister Rutledge, so much. And I want to turn your thoughts to the book of Revelation. You know I'm waiting out in deep water. The third chapter in the seventh verse. And we'll begin reading from the book of Revelation. "And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, said he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie, behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. I want you to notice the first clause of verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, past tense, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Right.
Verse 11, behold, I come quickly, hold fast which thou hast, present tense,
amen,
that no man take thy crown.
No.
Verse 12, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God,
Lord,
future tense,
Lord,
and he shall go no more out. Now I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And Brother Rutledge, would you pray for the reading of the word, please?
Dear Lord, we're thankful for the word of God. We thank you for Brother Merle, Sister Merle, and for this people that's here to hear the things that you've ordained that should be said this night. And we pray, Lord, that you will anoint, move, and bless, and convict, and help us to receive that which is good. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. We are heirs of the past, guardians of the present, and architect of the future.
Bless God. Amen.
Now, if I do justice to that long text name, I'll need a few more minutes.
All right, David.
Maybe I'll run out of steam for then. But there is, when I got to thinking about this service tonight, I got to thinking about what would I have to say concerning it. And I got to thinking, well, what in the world would I say? We're going to be talking about things of the past and the present. And surely we know that we've got to trust into the future. That's our goal. That's what we're looking for.
Right.
The future.
Amen.
And I got to thinking, well, you know, there's an old scripture in the 13th Hebrews, I believe it's verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
And that is past, present, and future.
Right.
And as I reminisce a little more, Acts 2:38 is the same way. Repent, past. Be baptized, present. And be filled with the Holy Ghost, future.
That's all right.
And so, I feel like that we have a rich history. We Christians, our present is exciting.
Yes.
And our future is bright because it is predicated upon God's promises. First of all, we're heirs of the past. No one can inherit the personal experience from God. There's no grandchildren in His kingdom.
That's right.
You're either a son or a daughter.
Amen.
And the rich young ruler erred when he asked what he could do to inherit eternal life. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I wondered about him. Maybe he inherited his wealth. Maybe it was handed down to him. But I'm telling you, friend, you don't get salvation handed down to you.
Amen.
You don't inherit it.
Amen.
And yet each of us are blessed by the heritage of our spiritual forebears that have left us. I thought as I was thinking about the past, and my life has been so enriched with past, and the things that have undergirded me is some of the past. I was reading today about the Azusa Street revival, and just like in the book of Acts, just like they acted out in this play, preachers being thrown into the jail.
Yes.
This so happened to them. I read some accounts from that early church in California. In Pasadena, California, there's a hole in the street service, and a drunk come by, and the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. And they had quite a time there. Well, the officers slipped in and arrested two of them, a lady and a man, and they carried them off, put handcuffs on the man, and all the way down to the jail, they was praising God. When they got in jail, they just caused so much commotion. The man that got loose and went to the prayer meeting and said, "Folks, we need to get in down on our knees. They've done captured these folks and took them to jail." They were praying. They didn't have a very long prayer meeting till in come these two that had been taken away. Well, over in Los Angeles, they're having another street meeting, and they coerced them took them down and arrested them. And when their trial date come, the courtroom was filled with spectators, and it was quite a number of these Pentecostals that was taken into custody. While the trial was going on, the Holy Ghost moved on them, and they began to speak in other tongues, and they had quite an uproar. And finally, the judge bounded the desk with his gavel and called it into order, and he said, "One more outburst, and we're going to throw you in jail." And then the city attorney, he got up, and he began to make remarks. He said, "Now, you folks have been quiet now since the judge call your hand on this, and I submit to you that you were out of the will of God. You were just putting on. You just had this so arranged." He began to badmouth them, and all of a sudden, rebuke of the Holy Ghost came, and somebody spoke in other tongues and rebuked him, and he got so bumfuzzled he sat down, so they turned that over to the jury at 3 o'clock that afternoon, and at 11:30 they come back out divided. They couldn't do anything with them. The judge said, "Well, it's just a mistrial. We'll try you again on November the 28th and dismissed them. Well, during that time, the city attorney lost his job. The judge was moved. The court case never come up again. I'm telling you, the past, we have a rich heritage. You can think about some of the things that has happened in our past. My mother and dad are 81 years old now, both still working, both active. They received the Holy Ghost in 1931. I was a baby then. I was a depressed baby. But the Lord... marvelous things has come out of that. I'm going to tell you what some of the things that happened during that time. My dad was the oldest son in their family. He had about 10, and he had an old A model or T model truck, and the country folks would load on that flatbed truck and go to the revival meeting under a brush arbor. And he had a brother just younger than himself that was riding on that truck. He was more of a spectator. You know, you had that in those days. You had some just come to look and some to really get involved with it. But Virgil was just a spectator. And I remember Virgil well. He was a guy that was sort of easygoing, but if he ever got unruffled, he was in bad shape.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I demonstrate. I may not better do that. Anyway, he's sitting on the back of this old truck, and unbeknownst to him, a nail had worked up through the seat of his britches. And as he began to try to get off of that truck, he just going to jump, you know, like a leapfrog off the back of that truck. And when he did, rip, the whole seat of his pants was tore. Well, he didn't have the victory. And he let out a cuss word and he said, I wish I was 1,000 miles away from this place. Dad said, son, if you was 1,000 miles from there with your britches tore wide open, you'd be in a terrible predicament. But there were some humorous things that went along in Pentecost back then, and there were some things, my friend, that were very serious, and they're still serious today. I want you to know our past is a holds a lot for us. I remember when I was just about 3 or 4 years old, we lived in an old plantation house, and Dad was a farmer, and he sharecropped, and he made a pretty good crop, but he saved his tithes back. Don't ever try that. That's not the proper way to do them. And he put his tithes over in one side of his wallet and his money over in the other. And then that went along for a good while till his money started playing out. And he started using the tithe money.
Yeah.
Is it all right to preach on tithes here?
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. Anyway, Dad, this is Dad's story, and I've got the proof of it. I've got the proof. You see, and before long, he said the Lord's money was more than his. And then one day he come to realize my brother and myself was playing around an old stove. Mother was cooking and had a big pan of water on. She was boiling water to wash clothes and was cooking. And this old stove was propped up with brick bats.
Yeah.
And we knocked them bricks out from under that stove.
Uh-oh.
And it scalded me. I had third-degree burns over about 30 or 40% of my body. I've got big scars on my arms and shoulders and down my back. Proof of what happened. And Dad said, for 30 days and nights, they sit up with me day and night. And the doctor got more than the tithe.
Yeah.
And then the doctor didn't get near what they get now.
Amen.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, that taught him a lesson.
Yeah.
And it taught me a lesson.
Yeah.
And he drilled that into our head. Don't you ever pull a stunt like that.
Glory.
And I'm telling you, folks, God in heaven. Oh, what a past we've got. What a heritage that has been passed on to us. I met Sister Merle. Her father was an invalid. He's about 50, 55 years old. And he had arthritis that had put him bedfast. And the only way he could get around is a little bit on crutches. Stayed in the bed most of the time. Very active man. Cut logs with a cross-cut saw. Hard worker. But this struck him. It was a thing that run in his family. He went to the doctor, several doctors for that matter, but the last one he went to said, Mr. Smith, really, it's nothing we can do for you. You see, if you'd have come to us long ago, before now, we might could have done something, but now it's set in and nothing we can do. He looked at him and he said, well, you may not can, but I know somebody that can. And I don't know whether the doctor thought he was facetious or what. He probably didn't know who he's talking about. Everybody that come by, he had them to pray for. Old Brother Oliver Smith and his wife, every evangelist come in. Listen, back then, they didn't have AOK Motel or whatever. Oh, no. They stayed in the saint's house, and they kept revivalist after evangelist after evangelist in their house. And the revivals then, you're the one talking about a revival if you didn't go on at least a month. Why, you as backslid as you could be if you couldn't go a whole month and miss and not miss a night and work all day. Yeah. And But so he had many friends and many preachers come by and prayed for him. Every time he was sending word for everybody to pray. And 2 long years this went on. One night he was prayed for and the power of the Lord hit him. And he left the crutches in that church. He run all around outside. He walked home that night. Hallelujah. Never to walk on them crutches again. God instantly healed him. He went back to work doing the same work he had before with a crosscut saw. He sawed logs till he is 67 years old. And then he cut a tree down and it splintered back on him and broke his leg. And they wouldn't let him go back to the log woods anymore. But he never, till the day he died, he never was crippled again with arthritis. I'm going to tell you, God has got a rich heritage. And we can believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And old Sister Smith, she lived for the Lord and was very active. We just buried her this year, 94 years old, still keeping house, kept. For the last 5 or 6 years, kept an inn with his husband, waited on him like a child. Tell me God is not a God of the past.
Amen.
We are heirs of the past.
Yes. Yeah.
We are not only heirs of the past, but we're guardians of the present.
That's it. Amen.
The devil aims his big guns at every one of us. We are under attack.
Amen.
At our homes, our marriage relationship, our individual moralities, our purities, the church and the mission of the world. What a responsibility we have to guard the blessings, the beautiful gifts, and the graces of God that He has bestowed upon us.
Amen.
You know, I'm amazed at some folks not being more faithful. And I noticed that the Church of Philadelphia, the secret of Philadelphia's success was primarily in faithfulness.
Amen.
This is the most important thing. If you want to really be something for this church, if you'll just be faithful.
Amen.
I believe I'm talking to faithful folks.
That's right.
I really do. Not long ago, we've got a family at church that they live out in the country a ways, and they're really not real faithful in attendance. They're precious people. And we wish so much. We were in a revival, and they come 2 or 3 nights in a row, and they've just blessed so mightily. And Sister Merle said to them after church, "I just wish y'all could come every time. This is what y'all need." And hurt his feelings.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. I didn't realize the feelings was hurt, but the next day I got a call. "Brother Merle, are we not welcome at the church any longer?"
Oh.
I said, "Oh, I don't know why." "Well, I'll tell you, it just really digs us for somebody to say, we wish y'all could come to church more regular."
Uh-huh.
Y'all can breathe now.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. But I'm going to tell you, faithfulness to the house of God is most important. And you be careful how you answer somebody concerning that.
That's right.
And this man, since this happened, I told him, I said, "She didn't mean a thing by it. Well, our feelings is hurt." I called Sister Merle right then. I said, "Sister Merle, this is the situation." And she said, "Well, I didn't mean anything about it." She called them both and begged their forgiveness. And just went overboard. But you know what happened? In less time than 3 weeks, that man had to have an operation. And, of course, we went along to help and support as best we could. And he stayed in the hospital 3 weeks and had to, before getting out, had to go on, undergo another operation. And he liked to die. Now he's in the Fort Ives Hospital with the same predicament. And it looks like he may have to have another operation. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things are caused for that. Sometimes in life, we just have problems.
That's right.
But some way or another, I believe that if you'd have just been humble about it, and the best thing is to say, well, bless God, I do need to be in church more.
Well, sure.
If it hurts your feelings to somebody say something about it, I wish y'all could come. You're in the wrong spirit to begin with. I know I'm getting over into the pastor's problem here, but okay. But I'm just trying to tell you that I believe God has, and look, this generation that we're in, we're guardians of the present.
That's right.
And I want to see a move of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I want to help folks. Don't you?
Yes.
One night, about 3 weeks ago, or four, knock on the door, people crying outside. I thought, oh, Lord, what in the world's happened? And it was late. We hurried around and opened the door. And I thought somebody had died, but it wasn't. A kitten had got in these folks' fan. But they were pretty disturbed about it.
Yeah.
They were crying, and the kids were crying. And the man, he just started the church, and he wasn't very much involved, but he told them, said, I don't know what to do. No veterinarian around him. And that fan, just, I believe it's killed it. And so I said, well, let's pray. All I know to do is pray. We prayed for that cat, and we just finally the old cat come too. It's doing good. Still doing good. The husband said, told his wife, said, don't let it go to sleep. Said, I've heard anytime you get a lick on the head like that, don't ever let one go to sleep. We sat around in the living room for a long time, had a long visit, about an hour before they left, and cat's doing fine. I was going to the car the other day, not 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if this prayer's been answered yet or not. Maybe I wasn't praying hard enough, I don't know. Somebody approached me and said, I want you to pray for this. For this letter before I send it off. And it was a sweepstake entry from Reader's Digest. And I said, sister, you got me in a hard spot here. I sent one of them off myself. As far as I know, it hadn't been answered yet, but I believe God hears an answered prayer. But we are the guardians of the present.
Amen.
And I remember Abraham in a vision. He was confirmed a covenant with God in the 15th chapter of Genesis, and Abraham asked for a verification of this promise, and he was told to build an altar. And with the sacrificial animals that were placed upon that altar, the fowls of the air swooped down, and he immediately had to drive them away. They were bound to steal his offering off of the altar.
Amen.
He drove them away time and again, for they tried to plummet his altar. Efforts and vigilance was necessary to keep these sacrifice-stealing vultures from from robbing him of his commitment to God.
Right.
Isn't that just like the devil?
That's right.
He attempts to ruin and rob God's people of their consecration they've made in an altar of prayer.
Amen.
We must guard well our sacrifices or else they'll be stolen.
Right.
I warn you today that we are to be guardians of the present.
Amen.
And then we must realize that there are three essentials of today. First, faith to live by. Paul stood before the sailors on that night of the storm that raged, and his faith in God was very positive. He said, "There stood by me in the night an angel of the Lord God, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be just like he told me.'"
Right.
So there is an essential of today is faith in God.
Amen.
Second, a self to live with. I remember a poem that says, "I have to live by myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I don't want to look at myself in the face at the setting of sun and hate myself for the things I've done." Thirdly, a purpose to live by. Far from home, in captivity, Daniel still maintained his integrity.
Amen.
And it is written of him in Daniel 1 and 8. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself."
Right.
Culturally, only those habits that you are willing to let master you.
Amen.
Bad habits are like blood-sucking weasels, which a eagle had caught into his talons.
Amen.
And he sailed toward the mountain peak with this juicy morsel to eat. But a hunter watched the scene as the eagle flew into the wild blue. This eagle had pulled this weasel up to him because he was a heavy load. Not realizing what the weasel had done, the weasel had cut through to the eagle's heart. And upward flight, the eagle's blood, life's blood was drained away, tumbled to the ground. So the hunter goes over and inspects, and he finds what was wrong was the thing that he had pressed against his bosom had took his life. Friend, the thing that you keep in your heart sometimes is very dangerous. You need to rid that and be where you can partake of the Lord and Him only. We're architects of the future. Just as we have an enriched, rich legacy from our spiritual forefathers, so we are craving and carving out a future for the youth of our church.
Amen.
Homesteaders always intrigue me. William Bryant said, "They are men and women who gave to the world more than they took from it." May the next generation be able to say that our contributions to them, to God's work, and to our responsibility as being the architects for the future. And there is a heart-rending account in the book of Judges. God instructed Israel to drive out the habitation of the Canaanites. Instead, we're told that seven tribes miserably failed in Judges 1:21-34. Finally, we read, "There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord."
Right.
nor yet the works which was done for Israel. The children of Israel did evil, and they forsake the Lord God and followed other gods. Israel did not draw architectural plans for the next generation, and it become their downfall. Joel said, tell ye your children of it, let your children tell their children and their children another generation. I want you to know we have an obligation. If we're going to be like the Church of Philadelphia, Philadelphia was one of only two churches, and the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation that was addressed to these seven churches, all of them had faults except Philadelphia and Smyrna. And I want you to know that we stand in a place. The past has been good. The present, we're looking at it. And it looks all right to me. It's up to you for the future. And I'm a-trusting that you'll let God lead you. And the future will be brighter than the past. God bless you.